The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good evening, it's James Robertson, and welcome to the program, The Almighty Desires Friends. This evening, I'm going to talk about the reality of creation, and I'm also going to talk about the history of mankind, how we get, or how we got, to where we are today, why things on Earth are the way they are today. And just generally lay a foundation for the programs that follow in this series. As I said, my name is James Robertson. I've been actively serving the Almighty Creator for about 25 years. I had a dramatic encounter with him in about April 1993, where he spoke to me audibly. And I realized that my life was a mess, that my understanding had been leading me down the wrong path. And I turned around and chose to seek to get close to him, chose to get to know him, and started a 25-year-long journey to come to know him. In that process, I've had numerous dramatic spiritual experiences, supernatural experiences. I've come to hear him quite clearly. I've come to understand the way he works and the way he thinks and what's important to him. And the purpose of this program is to share that understanding with you. The most fundamental realization that I've come to through this whole journey is that the Almighty created us for him to have friends on earth who would experiment with him, who would grow with him, who would learn with him, who would share with him, who would love him, worship him, and generally people who would be a pleasure for him to be around. So part of my message is that if you're not one of those people, if you're not actively seeking to be one of those people, you might just be missing the plot. You might just be missing the real reason that you're here on earth. I want to stress in what I have to say that it is possible for any human being alive today to qualify to become a friend of the Almighty. They just need to do the work that's necessary, pray the prayers that's necessary, put in the time that's necessary. And that's a whole discussion for another program in terms of what you would do to get there. But the basic principle is that if you, it doesn't matter where you are as you listen to me today or you read the transcript of this message, it doesn't matter where you are today in your relationship with the Almighty. If you decide following this program that you want to become a friend of the Almighty, it is totally doable. It is totally possible for you to become such a person. Don't let anybody put you off because of your present religion, because of the color of your skin, because of your race, where you grow up, what school you went to, what friends you have, any of that. It's irrelevant. It is possible for you to turn around right now and say, Father Yah, creator of the heavens and earth, I want to be your friend. And this series of programs is going to talk about that, tell you how to eventually how to do that, I've written a considerable amount. I'm in the process of compiling a series of books of my writings, and we're looking at 13 books, each of about 600 pages. A huge amount of knowledge that's available to anybody who wants it. Just drop me an email and I will send it to you. For convenience, I'll mention this at the beginning of the program, again at the end. The website is www.endtimeissueministries.org. So that's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, www.endtimeissueministries.org. My email address is James at the same URL, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Post this program, by all means, drop me an email. I'll send you copies of the books that you're interested in. I'll do my best to answer your questions. And I'll share whatever I have available to me to help you down this road. In the last program, there were a number of questions asked, so I'm going to answer those questions now. My general approach is not to take questions during the program. In each program, I have a fairly definite agenda that I want to follow, and I don't want to interrupt my train of thought taking programs. So if you send me a question, I will answer that question at the beginning of the following week's program. So a couple of people asked last week, why are there so many names for the Creator? Last week's program was around the names of the Creator. I made the point that the fundamental, essential name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, or just Yah, Y-A-H. That is, in fact, the only true name. There are all sorts of derivatives, so the Hebrew phrase, which translates as Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, is frequently translated as Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, or Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, which is the more accurate transliteration. There are all sorts of other names. People call him God, but there's a whole lot of gods, and when somebody refers to God, they are not necessarily referring to Yah, and the word God is actually an inaccurate translation of the Hebrew word Elohim, which means mighty one, or in the context of the Almighty, the way it's used many times, it means the Almighty. Now, the Almighty is not a name per se, it's a designation, it's a descriptor of who he is. He is Almighty. Then you get names like the Lord, also frequently used to refer to the Almighty, again, an inaccurate translation. The Lord is actually an accurate translation of Baal, so you should never actually call the Almighty the Lord. That's the L-O-R-D in capital letters. The Lord is, in fact, a very inaccurate translation of Yahweh. Completely wrong. Really shouldn't use it at all. It's, again, a pagan name and should be avoided. Causes a lot of confusion. Then you have the man Yeshua, Jesus. Yeshua meaning Yah is salvation. And as I say, generally known as Jesus, completely wrong and inaccurate translation. Jesus means blessed of Zeus, which is a pagan, that is a demonic, satanic entity. His correct name is Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A. And I would encourage you to course correct on that one. Jesus is a meaningless name, and it's just not right. And then you also get the word Christ, which is frequently used as an alternative name for Jesus. In fact, a lot of people think that Christ is effectively Jesus' other name. It's not. The word translated Christ actually means anointing or anointed one. So Jesus Christ is Yahushua, the anointed of Yah. Christ Jesus is the anointing that was upon Yeshua, and just Christ is the anointed one, or the anointed one. So anointing refers to the Spirit of the Almighty on a human being, and so Christ is a completely meaningless term. It's a technical term. Again, it's not a name, and furthermore, Christ as such refers to the Almighty. in the context of the anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty. So again, a name that's widely used that's associated with the Almighty but is actually not a name of the Almighty. And so if you come to understand these issues with these names, you will progressively start to learn the truth. And there's a page on the website which deals with the true name of the Almighty as Yah. And I encourage you to visit the website and read that. Another question from the last program. So why have so many names in different religions? As we're going to discuss in a few minutes, the human race has become totally corrupted over the generations. The forces of darkness have done everything that they possibly can to corrupt human beings, to corrupt our understanding. And so they have led us to substitute names. And so where if I travel overseas to countries that are not English-speaking countries on business and speak at conferences, they still introduce me as Dr. James Robertson. Somehow people think that it's okay to inaccurately translate the name of the Almighty. So you get God and Got and any number of other names that originated from the Almighty and which some people think relate to the Almighty but generally don't. So there is only one true name, that's Yah, or Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, or a bit of a stretch, Yahweh or Yahweh. But if you really want to get accurate with the name of the Almighty, it's Yah. Are you saying Yahu is evil or wrong? The third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh, your mighty one, in vain. Now, Yahweh, as I've said, is an accurate transliteration of the Hebrew phrase Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. So Yahu is an abbreviated version of Yahweh, and it's taking the name of the Almighty in vain. So if you're a believer and you have a yahoo.com email address, you really need to do something about it because you are breaking the third commandment. Every time you use that email address, every time somebody emails you, you're breaking that commandment, and you're going to pay a dear price for that on the day of your judgment. Why do they say they're the same person or being? Is it more than one or three in one, like they say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Interesting thing about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's only one verse in the Bible which uses that phrase, and that verse is not present in every form of manuscript, in every form of translation. And the indications are that it was added into the Bible down the track when people's understanding of things had become erroneous and corrupt. Father is an appellation for the Almighty. He is our Father. He is our Creator. He is the one that gave life to us, and therefore it is proper and correct to call Him Father. That's simply a descriptor of who He is. Son is Yeshua. Got nothing to do with the Father. A prophet, apostle, lived just over 2,000 years ago, lived a life without sin, died a terrible death, went to heaven because he had lived without sin, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. So if you're not doing what it takes to make the Almighty's enemies and Yeshua's enemies Yeshua's footstool, you're pretty much not doing very much on earth today of consequence to the Almighty. And there are very, very few people who are really making an effort to make the demonic and satanic realm a footstool to the Almighty and to Yeshua. So the Son is a completely separate spiritual entity to the Father. The Holy Spirit, and holy is another meaningless religious term, holy meaning set apart, separated, translation of the Jewish word Kodesh, Q-O-D-E-S-H. Some people spell it Kadosh, K-A-D-O-S-H, but it's the same Hebrew word. Holy Spirit, meaning the separated spirit, the set-apart spirit of the Almighty. That is the portion of the Spirit of the Almighty that is placed in a believer when they come to belief, and further when they pray for infilling of the Spirit of the Almighty. That is distinct from the universal spirit of the Almighty, of which it is written, in whom we live and move and have our being. And the fact of the matter is, if you were to remove the spirit of the Almighty from earth, all life would cease instantaneously. The plants would die, the animals would die, the human beings would die. And that is a real possibility if at the end of the current millennium, there is nobody to call for the return of Yeshua and Satan rules on earth forever. And that may be a bit of a shock for you, because you may subscribe to the view which says, look at the back of the book, we win. There's absolutely no certainty that we will win. The back of the book doesn't say we will win. The back of the book says what will happen if we do win, and we have to make sure that we win. Another question, a priest once said, the stories in the Bible are just stories I tell children. Is this the truth? Absolutely not. The bulk of the Bible is an accurate historical account of real people. The key characters in the Bible from a Bible story point of view, Samson, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, and so forth, are real people filled with the spirit of the Almighty who did dramatic and mighty things. You can do possibly not such dramatic and such mighty things, but you today can be filled with the spirit of the Almighty. One of the challenges, if you're going to read the Bible, and there's a point at which once you've read the Bible once or twice, there's not much point in continuing to read it. There's other things to read. But if you read the Bible and you visualize what it would be like for you to be that person, what would it be like for you to be Moses parting the Red Sea? What would it be like for you to be Noah calling down judgment on the earth? What would it like to be Yeshua going around healing people? So absolutely the stories are true, and you can learn a lot from them if you choose to look at them in the way I've just described. If you just read them as this is stuff that happens to other people and never happened to me, you're not going to get the real value out of the book. Final question, what brought you to this line of study? Fairly long story, but I'll just give you the headlines. 1993, been in an adulterous relationship, relationship was exposed, had to say goodbye to my mistress, discovered I was deeply in love with her to a point where I was seriously considering suicide. My wife kicked me out of the house, and I spent the night running strategic processes trying to understand how I could sort my life out. And about 7 o'clock in the morning, this voice spoke to me audibly, as clearly as you can hear me speaking to you right now, and said, James, phone Ian Peters. He has something that you need. And I phoned Ian and said, Ian, I believe you have something that I need. Pretty strange phone call to make. He was unfazed. He invited me around to dinner that evening. He sat me down and he told me about his living relationship with the Almighty. I embraced that. I took it on board. I realized that if I died that day, I would have gone straight to hell. And I set about cleaning up my life and getting to know the Creator in a deep and personal way. And that's what I've been doing for 25 years. And that's what I'm sharing with you. So I hope that answers your questions. Please feel free to send through questions at any time during the program, and I will do my best to answer them in the next program. So where do we come from? Why are we here? How do we get into the present situation? Some people would say the world is pretty much a mess. How do we get into this mess? So I'm going to set that out for you. Before I do that, I want to start out by making sure that you have a foundation for believing that we are created beings. If you don't have a realization that we are created beings and that there is a creator, you're probably going to find it quite difficult to understand what I'm talking about. So let's talk a little bit about creation. There's some books on my website, The Purpose and of Man, a fairly lengthy document which goes into a lot of these things in a lot of detail. It's also an article on various other articles on creation. But let's just consider for a moment some key principles. There are all sorts of rationalizations and explanations that you can use to prove that there's a creator, but I want to just drill down into one specific characteristic of life that, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely fundamentally proves that there is a creator. And that is sexual reproduction. Most plants, just about all animals except the most basic ones, reproduce sexually. There is a male gamete and a female gamete. They are generally held in different organs. They're brought together in any number of ways through sexual intercourse, in the case of mammals and human beings, through rubbing organs together, through wind distribution, through distribution by bees, whatever. But in all cases, in order to reproduce, many plants and virtually all animals reproduce sexually. And I'm not talking about the low order plants and the low order animals, but all of the higher plants and animals reproduce sexually. Now, the thing to understand that is that sexual reproduction only works if the male and the female fit together perfectly. So let's bring this down to the level of human beings, because we're human beings and that's the most relevant example. It's an example that most of us have personal experience of. But the principles are the same whether you're talking about dogs or cats or palm trees or protea flowers or orchids or whatever. The male being has certain sexual organs. The female being has certain sexual organs. Those organs fit together perfectly. There are spiritual and emotional ties that draw men and women to one another. When they have intercourse, there is an ejaculation that takes place with the seed of the male, which works its way into very specific organs in the female, fertilizes an egg. The egg takes root in the uterus of the woman, grows into a child. The child is birthed. The child is raised. It's completely helpless to start with. The child is raised by the parents and ultimately becomes an adult itself. Now, the thing to understand about that is that that capability cannot come into existence in some random stochastic statistical evolutionary process. Sexual reproduction only works when the male and female fit together absolutely perfectly at all the levels that I've just mentioned. So emotionally, spiritually, physically, sexually, genetically, etc. And there's another piece there, is that most plants and animals have what's known as DNA. And half the DNA comes from the male and half the DNA comes from the female. And those strands of DNA, which are like sort of little stepladders, fit together perfectly so that the left-hand side of the 257,000th step on the ladder corresponds to the color of the eyes in both sides of the spiral, the genetic DNA spiral. So how did that happen? That can't have happened in a random fashion. There has to have been a higher order body, a higher, a more intelligent being that designed all of this and made it fit together. Because there is absolutely no ways that human beings or animals or plants could come into existence with sexual reproduction by any other way. You cannot reproduce sexually if you don't fit together perfectly. So you have to fit together perfectly before you can reproduce. And if you can't reproduce, you're not going to exist. So I submit for your consideration that that is absolutely proof positive of creation. So that creates a context to what I'm now going to talk about. How did we get here? Why are we here? And why is the world such a mess today? Now, what I'm going to share with you you're not going to find in a book on the bookshelf in your local bookstore. Some of what I'm going to share with you, I've been shown directly. You may find a few people out there who will agree with me on much of what I'm going to say, but that comes from a relationship with the Almighty. So the name of the Almighty is Yah, the eternally self-existing. So he says that he is eternally self-existing. He has existed forever in and through himself. And you're going to say to me, well, you've just evidenced that human beings and all these other beings and plants that reproduce sexually have to have been created. So surely that says that the Almighty also has to have been created, and who created him? Well, that's a challenge, because he says he's always been here. And you can say, well, you know, that just disproves your theory because you can't explain where he came from. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you don't believe he exists, you also can't explain where we came from, because you have to go back to a big bang and say that we came into existence from some unknown place, through some unknown process, through the agency of some unknown creative force, which some people call nature. And we all came to be the way we are through random processes over millions or billions of years. And as I hope I've shown you, considering sexual intercourse and sexual reproduction, it just not possible, folks. It's not possible. So that leaves me with a conundrum, and the unbeliever with a conundrum. The unbeliever can't explain where all this stuff came from, how it created itself, and I can't explain where the Almighty came from. What I can tell you is I have had numerous dramatic supernatural experiences of the Almighty. Beginning of 1994, I was lying in my bed praying and asking to know the Almighty the same way as a particular anointed individual I'd been very touched by. And as I was lying on my stomach in the bed, this intense pressure pressed me down into the bed. And when I woke up the next morning, I started praying for people and they were healed. Very real for me. You don't have to believe me. If you haven't been there, haven't done it, you're going to find difficulty in believing me. But I assure you that that experience was real. And the voice that spoke to me in 1993 was real. The innumerable divine appointments, the innumerable experiences of being led by His Spirit, the innumerable experiences of having questions answered, and I could go on and on. I can tell you with absolute total conviction that there is a Creator and that He wants a relationship with every one of us. So let's take a step back. Why are we here? The Almighty had been around for a long time, and to be blunt about it, he found that his company was a bit tedious. So he decided to create intelligent beings with emotions, with feelings similar to his, in his image, that he could have relationships with. So he formulated a vision of what that would look like, and he set about creating it. And so the first thing he did was to create this thing that we call the universe, all the planets, etc., etc. In order to do that, he had first of all to create the elements, the periodic table of the elements, so iron and copper and manganese and gold and lime and helium and hydrogen and oxygen and so forth. So he systematically set about creating a whole lot of material building blocks. He then set about what we call the Big Bang, and he caused an explosion that scattered material for huge distances, which turned into planets, solar systems, constellations, and so forth. He then set about picking planets that had ideal conditions for life, and he worked on those planets, and he made a number of experiments, created planets which didn't work quite the way he wanted it for there to be life the way he wanted it. So yes, it is true to say that there are other planets in the universe that are potentially capable of sustaining life, because Father was experimenting with different gravitational fields, different atmospheres, etc. So he created and finally settled on our planet Earth. He created an atmosphere, and then he set about systematically populating the planet. So he did that in an experimental way. He started with single-cell organisms, and when he'd got those to a state that he was satisfied with, he created multi-cell organisms. And over time, in an experimental way, he created more and more complex organisms. And some of them worked and some of them didn't. And if they didn't work, he just cast them into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is heaven's incinerator, to get rid of them. Eventually, he got to a point where he'd created most of the plants and animals we have on the earth today. And eventually, he was getting to a point where he was going to create human beings. Before that happened, he was also experimenting with creating spiritual beings. So the first spirit being that he created eventually became a man, Yeshua, the one that you may know as Jesus, who came to earth and lived a life without sin and died a terrible death in order to deliver man from his sin. And that spirit being worked at the right hand of the Almighty throughout the creative process as an agent to help the Almighty with his creation. Father went on and created other spirit beings, and he created what are commonly called angels, the correct translation of the Hebrew word that's translated angels is messengers. Angels or messengers are servants of human beings. They're servants of the Almighty. They're there to help with the creative process. They're there to help with things on earth. And as you get closer to the Almighty, you may well have experiences of contact with angels or contact with messengers. Then you may even get to a point where you are able to command those messengers to go and do things for you. Either way, you will be given a guardian messenger, guardian angel, who will watch over you. If you're in right standing with the Almighty, that guardian may protect you, keep you from harm. But they will follow you around faithfully, and they will record everything that you do and everything that you say in a book. And on the day that you die, that book will be brought before the court of heaven, and you will be judged, first of all, as to whether you're a believer or not. And if you're not a believer, you won't make it into heaven. If you are a believer, you will be judged for all your unrepented, unconfessed sin, and you will go to hell for a season to pay the price for your unconfessed sin. Yeshua died a terrible death so that you didn't have to go to hell, but if you look lightly on his sacrifice, you will end up in hell for a season. And that could be a long time, depending on how sinful your life has been as a believer. And thereafter, you will be judged in terms of the contribution that you have made. So if you look at the cover for this program, you will see a sideways S-curve. And on the top right, you will see friends, and below that, overcomers, and below that, good and faithful servants. And so you have the opportunity in life to climb that curve, climb that mountain, and draw closer to the Almighty. Coming back to the creative process, so Father created plants of increasing complexity. He then created animals of increasing complexity. And he was about to create human beings when something went wrong with the creative process. One of the messengers, whose original name was Hillel, Lightbearer, Lucifer, rebelled. He became proud. He didn't see why he should serve the Almighty. He thought he could be as powerful as the Almighty, and he challenged the Almighty. The Almighty was about to throw him into the lake of fire and brimstone, the incinerator, and Hillel said to him, I guarantee you that if you put me on earth with these human beings that you're in the process of creating, after 7,000 years, not one of them will serve you, not one of them will believe you're real, and in that case, I want to rule on earth forever. And the Almighty has said to me, he got angry, he was upset, and he took on the challenge, something that he says he deeply regrets today. And so instead of casting Hillel and the one-third of the messengers who followed Hillel into the lake of fire and brimstone to be utterly destroyed, they were cast out of heaven and onto planet Earth. Adam was created with a wife called Lilith, both supernaturally created from the dust of the earth in the same way that the animals and plants had been created. Lilith very quickly ran off after Satan and following Satan's seductions and lies, and so was rejected. And then the Almighty went on and created Chava, Eve, as a second wife for Adam. Chava, as you know, was led astray by the serpent, by Satan. Ate the forbidden fruit, and it really doesn't matter whether it was an apple or a whatever. It doesn't even really matter whether it was a fruit per se. What matters is that they were told not to eat the fruit of that tree or partake of whatever it is that we're talking about. They disobeyed, they rebelled. By rebelling, they became servants of the Almighty, of Satan. They put themselves under Satan's rulership. Now, that's really important to understand, because when the Almighty created Adam, he said to him, have dominion, in other words, rule over the planet Earth, over everything on the Earth and everything in the Earth. So he put Adam in charge. When Adam listened to Satan and sinned, he became a servant of Satan. He made Satan his god, in the colloquial language, his mighty one. And by making Satan his mighty one, he completely dislocated his relationship with the Almighty. He still had some sort of level of relationship with the Almighty, but it was not the pure relationship that he had before he fell. And so human beings ever since then have been dealing with the consequence of Adam's sin, dealing with the consequence that Satan is the mighty one, the god of this earth, dealing with the consequence of the fact that Satan has authority through human beings because of their sin and their doubt and their unbelief. And so, as a consequence of that, we have got to the mess we're in today. Satan and his cohorts, his armies, his followers, have been energetically doing everything they can to stop mankind from believing in the Almighty, to stop mankind from serving the Almighty, and particularly to stop mankind from knowing that the Almighty created us to be his friends. And they've been very highly successful. In 2003, there was only one person on earth who was in right standing with the Almighty at a level that could send Satan to the pit for 1,000 years. So, this situation has continued all along. Post-Adam, for about 1,500 years, the human beings degenerated, rebelled, and got to a point there was only a man Noah and his son Shem and their wives who were true believers in the Almighty. And this is something that is not well understood. The Almighty can do nothing on earth except through a human being, and Satan can do nothing on earth except through a human being, and neither of them can tell you anything you don't know unless you ask. So a very powerful prayer is, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. An even more powerful prayer is, Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. But if you want to get close to the Almighty, if you want to learn the Almighty's truths, you need to pray prayers like that. And there are many more prayers like that in the documentation and on the website. And we'll talk more about those prayers in a future program. And it takes years of fasting and praying and cleaning up your act to get to a place where you are free of error and free of sin. Not many people get there. Very few people understand that it's a possibility. And so we get to Noah. Noah was grieved by the level of sin on the earth. He prayed for the Almighty to destroy the sinners. The Almighty brought an ice comet from the outer reaches of the solar system. And that ice comet crashed into the earth. It knocked the earth out of its circular orbit around the sun. It knocked the earth on its axis to about 30 degrees caused massive destruction. The entire surface of the planet was mashed up. If you go onto YouTube, there's YouTube proof of global flood. There's a series of videos. They're also available from me if you want to contact me. And the entire earth was destroyed and all those people were drowned. Come the end of the flood, water drained off the continents, the earth expanded because of the shocks, etc., that had gone into it, and the water drained off the continents. Noah and his family set up life in a muddy mess. And over time, they brought technology with them, they brought knowledge with them, and they rebuilt advanced civilizations such as you see in Egypt and other advanced civilizations around the world. And again, they fell into sin, and sometime later you had Moshe, who brought Israel out of Egypt. You had David and Solomon, who sort of restored faith in the Almighty to a significant extent in Israel. And then you had Yeshua, Jesus, who came down as a mighty turnaround prophet, giving birth to a religion that eventually became Christianity. They fell into sin, and 600 years later, Father raised up another prophet by the name of Muhammad through the Arabian people, who were sons of Abraham. And so that gave birth to the religion we know as Islam. And then some years later, we have Martin Luther protesting against the error and the sin of the Roman Catholic Church, and that gave birth to the so-called Protestant Christian religions, which is the current wave, which is now falling into greater and greater sin and greater error, as we've talked about earlier in this program. And so that in a nutshell, is what has happened during the course of mankind's life on earth. Key things to understand: Yeshua died in order to regain authority over Satan, and he immediately gave that authority to those who believed via his covenant sacrifice. The only person who can send a satanic messenger angel to detention, to jail, the only being that can send a demon to jail is a human being praying in the name of Yeshua. And that human being has to know their authority, and they need to be reasonably free of sin. Otherwise, the demons and the messengers will just laugh at them. What we're talking about is a big subject. There's a lot more that I could say about that. But the key thing is to see that we are intended to live life on earth victoriously. We're intended to rule over the forces of darkness. We're intended to bind and cast out the forces of darkness. And it's important to realize that a human being who dies without believing in the Almighty doesn't really go anywhere. They die, they're taken down to the lake of fire, they're told what awaits them if Satan does not win the contest, the battle between Satan and the Almighty, and then they're taken back to their bodies. A human spirit without a body or an animal or a messenger to transport it cannot move anywhere. So the spirit is returned to the corpse, and it will stay with the corpse, or will stay where the corpse was until the corpse rotted away forever, unless some human being comes along and commands that human spirit to be picked up and carried by an animal or carried by a human being or whatever the case may be. So there have been a huge number of unbelievers in the last 6,015 years. And the unbelievers who perished in the flood, their spirits are embedded in the rocks. They're at the bottom of the sea. They're just all over the place in very unpleasant circumstances. Those that have died subsequently, some of them are on other human beings. Some of them are carried around by messengers. You have the so-called demonic masterminds who actually rule the earth in Satan's absence. And Satan has been in the pit now for 15 years. And those demonic masterminds rule the earth. So you have masterminds like Baal, there's one called Jesus, and so forth. And they have built up great power by being absolutely abhorrent to the Almighty. And they have great authority in the demonic, satanic spirit realm. And they basically rule the earth. And they rule the earth with a mindset and a mandate to kill, steal, and destroy. So the reason that the earth is a mess is because the satanic realm is ruling on earth, and all they know is to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you belong to a people group that worships the ancestors, worships demons, in other words, you actually are in a pretty rough position because you've dissociated yourself from the Almighty and from His ways and from His wisdom and from learning from Him. And you need to rethink what you're doing. If you're in a group that is sort of serving the Almighty, be it Christian, Jewish, or Muslim, well, you still need to get rid of your sin. You still need to draw close to the Almighty. Well, that's about it. I need to be wrapping up. There's a lot more I can tell you. As I've said, there's a website with about 700 pages. The URL for that website is endtimeissueministries.org, endtimeministries.org. My email address is james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please feel free to email me. I encourage you to visit the website. There are about 700 pages of information on a diversity of topics, like the sexual relationship between men and women, the true names of the Almighty, like what it is that's required to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty, and so on and so on and so on. There's a vast amount of information there, a culmination of years of work. There's also, as I said, the set of 13 books that I'm in the process of completing now and hope to go to print within the next few weeks, or the first portion of those books in the next few weeks and the rest in about 2 or 3 months. You're welcome to email me if you would like an electronic copy. If you're able to pay the basic costs of production and distribution, I'm happy to send you physical copies. If you financially cannot afford to pay for them, let me know, and as funds permit, I'll try and get a set to you. The first book is most important. It's about the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. I spoke about that in the first of these programs. These programs will shortly be available on the website of W4CY, and you're welcome to download them and or link to them and listen to them again. I hope to have them transcribed into physical documents that will be available through the mailing list. That's about it, folks. Thank you so much for listening, and I really hope that you will leave this program desiring a deep personal relationship with the Almighty. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.